Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Quint Studer is here. Quint is one of our longtime Brain Trust members, an old friend of ours. He's been hanging out with us now for over 15 years. He's the founder of the Pensacola-based Studer Community Institute, which is a nonprofit research-based entity that I have seen in action, my friends, and it is an awesome thing to see what Quint Studer and his team have done, not only to that city, to that area, to the Pensacola area, but places all over the communities all over the country. He's a pro at this, and it's all about the leadership. And I've seen him. We've talked about it with him. I've seen him do it in person. He's the author of a new book called The Busy Leader's Handbook: How to Lead People in Places that Thrive. And nobody could write this book better than Quint. He's our good friend. Quint, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jim. Glad to be back.
Good to have you back. Congratulations. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller. I'm not the least bit surprised. As my audience knows, Quint, only the best for my audience. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. So, Quint, the one of the things you talk about in your book that reminded me of a friend of mine who ran a business, he had a manager who was really frustrated. And I asked my friend, I said, I was advising him in those days, and I said, what do you think about him? He said, well, he wants to be a leader, but he can't get anybody to follow him. And in your book, you talk about if you want to be a leader, you need to learn how to be a follower. Talk to us about that.
Well, I just think always you can't take people places you haven't been. And I think, you know, that's why I sort of really admire people that sort of come up through the ranks, you know. Having spent a lot of years in healthcare, there are certain leaders, and you get it. They go to bachelor's, they get a master's, and they sort of start off almost in leadership. But I don't think they're get near the experience of someone who's sort of understood, you know, how do you get followers? You don't get, you can get a follower because they have to follow you, but their true leader gets followers because they want to follow you. And I think it truly starts with, you know, making sure they understand why you're asking them to do what they do. Mm-hmm. A little bit of what's in it for them, but making sure they have what they need. You know, simple questions like, you know, do you have what you need to do your job today? Are there any barriers that I can remove? You know, what can I do to be helpful to you? And I think you just have to help sort of sometimes take away people's blockages on why something can't be done to make sure you sort of take away those exit strategies for people. But I think most people want to do a good job. And, you know, we've gotten in communities, you know, we have work, but in communities, it's even more important that you learn how to gain followers because they don't have to follow you.
That's
follow
right.
You they
most of them are volunteers, aren't they, Quint?
Yeah. And they feel they're going to follow you because hopefully if they do, they're going to see that life gets better for them and for others.
Right. There's no question about it. One of the things you talk about in your book is that I think is so important, and I talk about it on the show all the time. It's one of the most important things I've learned in my career, in my education, and that is self-awareness. You talk about looking in the mirror. When I was reading this part of your book, I thought about Michael Jackson's song. I'm talking about the man in the mirror, you know, and when I was with Xerox decades ago, they taught us about self-awareness, self-analysis, how to go between calls, how to do a self-analysis, how did I do, what did I do right, what did I do wrong, you know, what could I do better, and that kind of self-awareness leads to growth, and that leads to leadership, doesn't it?
I think it's step one, but really, I guess I'd always been aware of this, but not to the point I am today. And I think there's three things that people need. Number one is self-awareness. Then after self-awareness is coachability. And then after coachability is actually taking the action. And about 2012 or 13, I sat down with Harry Gruner, who's the managing partner of JMI, which is a growth venture firm. And I was just curious. We're having breakfast in Baltimore, and, you know, these people invest millions of dollars in companies. And I said, when you look at a company to invest in, what do you look at? And I thought he'd say the normal things, you know, how much price increase is there available? Right. How much runway is there to grow the company? And he said they look for self-awareness of the founder, self-awareness and coachability.
Huh.
And that hit me more and more all the time, because when I see people, that leaders that don't do well, companies that don't do well, they just don't have the ability to see themselves as they are. And if you don't see yourself as you are, how are you going to take the right action? And so,
how many times in sports do you see the bigger players get beat by the team with the bigger heart? How many times do you see that?
Well, I think it's often. I think with self-awareness too, and you mentioned it, the Xerox story was perfect. I was working for a small company, and I was calling on human resource managers. And John Pugliese, who was the corporate sort of my boss, who had come down to watch me. And I sat down with the human resource director at a company in Beloit, Wisconsin. And, man, I had brochures on what we did, and I talked about what we did. And, you know, I walked out, and I thought, you know, I really, really nailed it, son of John. This is good. So we got into the car, and John said, he asked me some real trick questions, like, how many employees are there at the company? Gee, I don't know.
I could see that one coming, boy.
How many managers are there? I don't know. What do they do currently with employees that are having trouble? Gee, I don't know. And what I realized is, I was so busy being interesting.
Yeah,
I wasn't interested. So,
that's a good. That's
so
a good.
We really
way
worked
it.
A lot.
No, it's true. It's true. You know, and one of my mentors, and I talk about it all the time. I said it yesterday to someone. During the day, one of my mentors told me a long time ago. He said, "Check your position." That was all he said. That was his advice to me. Check your position. He just meant look around you and see how people are responding to you. See if what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're being is making sense with what's around you, with the people around you. And, folks, I encourage you, this kind of good stuff is right in the front of the book, A Busy Leader's Handbook by Quint Studer. I promise you it's worth your while and your investment. You'll thank me later. Quint Studer and I will be right back 20 after. More to come with our good friend Quint Studer. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.